This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We've got, as I think I've mentioned a couple of times on the radio now, a live roadshow that we have been doing across the country this year. It's called How We Learn to Stop Worrying and Love the Numbers. We were down in Houston, Texas earlier this week, and I want to play one of the interviews that we did on stage on, what, I guess it was Tuesday night. It's about a little bit of the science that underpins the numbers and how we think about them, how our brains measure and create our reality. David Eagleman is a neuroscientist at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. He is a best-selling author. He's got a PBS television series coming next year. It is called The Brain. And that's what I asked him about, how our brains perceive the world. Here you go. Here's the tape.
Great to be here. Thanks, Kai.
Is that a fair supposition, a fair statement of fact, right? We deal with the numbers in the hard world, and you sort of deal with how we perceive all this stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Everything about our reality is a construction of the brain. And so this is what I study in my laboratory, how brains construct reality.
How do you do that?
Sometimes it's by dropping people from a 150-foot tall tower to see how
long. Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, that was actually the hardest thing I ever did in science, was get approval to do that experiment.
I can't imagine why. That's remarkable. Okay, so it is actually this thing called the perceptual chronometer.
Yeah.
Right? Explain that to me, because it's just a cool experiment, and then I want to talk number.
When I was a kid, I fell off of the roof of a house, and it seemed to take a very long time. It seemed like the whole event sort of went in slow motion.
Right.
When I got to high school and I learned physics, I calculated that the whole fall took 0.8 of a second, but it didn't feel that way. And that's what got me really interested in the perception of time and how we experience it. So the experiment that I did some years ago is I dropped people from a 150-foot tall tower in free fall.
Yeah.
They were caught by a net below, going about 70 miles an hour. And I developed this thing called the perceptual chronometer, which flashes numbers at you in a particular way so that I can measure the speed at which you're seeing the world. So I could figure out whether people were actually seeing in slow motion, like Neo in The Matrix, or whether it was just a trick of memory retrospectively. And it turns out that it's a trick of memory. In other words, when you're in a car accident and you see, oh gosh, the hood crumpled and the rearview mirror fell off, it's all that you're laying down memories more densely. So when you read that back out, you think, wow, it must have taken a really long time. So that's what I discovered from the perceptual chronometer.
And you are dealing in periods of time in, I guess, millions of seconds, right? I mean, thousands of seconds, right? Sorry, thousands of seconds.
Yeah.
My guess is you have at least heard of, if not read, Michael Lewis's most recent book, Flash Boys.
Is that about the high-frequency trading?
Yeah, I haven't read it, but I know about it. And it's about these guys, these traders, who are locating their physical trading centers closer and closer and closer to the center of the trading action so they can save milliseconds. Are we now at the point where our daily lives in the markets, in car crashes, whatever it is, need to be measured that way? Because I don't think we can all process that stuff.
Well, this is the very strange part, is that we're now building all these systems that can operate so much more quickly than we can. Yeah, everything in that high-frequency trading world used to run at the millisecond time scale. Now it's at the microsecond time scale. It's happening at a scale that we can't perceive. And maybe someday we'll fight our wars that way. We'll have drones fighting at, you know, World War III will be over in a tenth of a second, and we'll see who won.
Okay, great. Or terrible. I don't know.
I don't know either.
As you study this stuff, I wonder what you think of the mantra that goes, and this is, so I have a rule that goes like this. If you think about how you sound on the radio when you are on the radio, you will screw up how you sound on the radio, inevitably, right? Which is why you hear me talk the way I do on the radio. I wonder what you think of this idea, dealing as you do in perceptions of reality. You just got to go with it, man, and just kind of wing it.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. Because sometimes when you start reaching your...
Where's my boss? My boss is out there somewhere, and I don't know what she's saying about this.
The fact is that when you start reaching your arms, you know, too deep into this issue about how weird reality is out there, it just gets too much. And the fact is we've evolved to operate on a very particular scale of space and time, and to care about particular things like, you know, finding a mate and finding food and drink and things that matter to us. And all of this other stuff, we can go in the laboratory and study it every day, but it's, in the end, we have to keep it removed from how we actually live our lives.
Well, and on that, just to get it back to sort of marketplace and what we do, can consumers process this stuff? I mean, there's so much information coming at us, right? So let's not talk time. Let us talk quantity of information. How do we as consumers in this society, a $17 trillion economy, process all this stuff in a way that makes sense?
Yeah, I the only thing that functions here, I think, is what's called the illusion of truth effect, which is if you hear something enough times, you start to believe it's true. This is an old psychological finding. So it's lousy that it turns out that way, but there's no way to keep up with all the info. I just read a statistic yesterday that in every minute of time, there are 6,000 minutes of new YouTube videos uploaded.
Right. So what are we supposed to do with that? Yeah. There's more stuff out there than there are minutes in the day.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I've been thinking about lately is I'm going to reach a certain point in my life where the amount of time I have left to live will be insufficient to go through all the digital photos I've taken.
David Eagleman, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.
The next stop for our road show, How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Numbers, is New York City, October the 16th at the 92nd Street Y. We'll be live on stage with ballerina Misty Copeland, author Delia Ephron, to name just a couple, a slew of marketplace reporters as well. You can see what we look like. Tickets at 92y.org.